The Christian gospel is promoted anywhere in any community by people who have had some personal dealings with God. Whenever you think of anyone talking to someone else about becoming a Christian, it's always somebody who has had some personal experience of the grace of God in his own heart. This is understood different ways by different people, and always has the same result. When someone has become aware of God, conscious of God, and has understood about Jesus Christ as being the Savior, and has had the experience of having fellowship with God through Jesus Christ, that person wants to tell other people. And this is the way it was with the early church. We are just now studying in the book of Acts, and if you will open your Bibles at the fourth chapter of the book of Acts, we can see this in actual action before us. We can see these early Christians meeting the society in which they lived, the people, the community, the neighborhood where they were, and telling them of what God had done. Now, at this particular time, there was one thing that had happened which everyone was interested in and excited about, and that is this lame man had been healed, and this would indicate a power outside of man. Peter had gotten up and told them, "You don't need to look on us as if we had the strength or the wisdom to do this. This was done by God." And when he was called into court, you will remember he was arrested. We read that in the early part of the fourth chapter. And he was arrested and brought into court and was asked, "By what authority are you doing this? Who gave you the authority to teach in our community and start bringing these ideas into people's minds?" So he told them. The authority evidently came from God. He had personally come to know God, and he had come to know God in Jesus Christ. And it was God in Jesus Christ, by the power of the name of Jesus Christ, that had affected this lame man and made him whole. And Peter told these things. This was the testimony of Peter and John in their day and time, telling the people of their community, "The results that you saw in the life of that lame man who was made whole are things that are done by Almighty God. And he did this in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, this one that you know about." Such testimony had an effect upon people. And in verses 13 and 14, you can see the effect it had upon those who were in the court and who heard it. We read in verse 13, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it." Now that's how the people in the temple were affected. They were affected to think that Peter and John really had seen and had dealt with Jesus Christ after his resurrection, and with the man healed there, they couldn't say anything against it. In other words, they couldn't make out it was of no account. They couldn't make out that Peter and John were just putting on a show. They really had the evidence in front of them, and that would keep quiet all the critics of the whole matter. Now when we read on from there, in verses 15 to 18, we come to a very interesting thing, and when I read it to you, I think you can feel how human this is. Look at in verse 15, chapter 4 of the book of Acts, verse 15. "But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council," that is when the rulers, the chief priest, and his company of people who had brought these men into court, when they had commanded them to go out, had commanded Peter and John to go outside of the room, you know, sent them out of the room so they could discuss it, they conferred among themselves, and this is what they said, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." This is the sturdy strength of the Christian testimony. It shows up when the results are actually there in the lives of people. Nothing in the world has such power in argument as a changed life right there in front of you. Somebody whose whole manner and procedure is different now than it was before. And these men, in talking about Peter and John, wondering how to stop them, had to admit that they couldn't deny the effectiveness of their testimony. Verse 17, "But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." Now, straitly is the word would mean something like strictly. Sternly, let's warn them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. If you stop to think about it, that's rather strange, isn't it? And it shows how far people can go in prejudice. Here is a church that, with its testimony and with its ministry, is actually being a means of blessing to people in the community. Folks go there and they're helped. And yet such can be the narrowness of people's minds and the short-sightedness of their thinking that the other people would actually want that church to be shut up. They would like to have that church put out. They don't want that church in the community, even though people are being blessed by it. Isn't that a strange thing? I don't know of any other activity among our people that is like this in church activity. It is almost unbelievable. I wonder what it would be like if you were to think of somebody, we'll say, in with sickness, with medicine. What in the world would you think it would be like if you had one particular doctor that was your own personal favorite, and there was another doctor in the community also practicing, and this other doctor actually was useful in healing somebody, and apparently he had the medicine that would cure a certain disease, but your doctor didn't have it? Now, what would you think of a person who would just say, well, let's just not let that other man practice. We want our doctor to have the trade, so they have the patients, so we just won't let the other man practice. It's true the other man is actually healing people. It's true that other people are actually getting well with his ministry, with his service, and his treatments, but we don't want him because he doesn't belong to us, and we'll just get him out of there. Wouldn't that be strange? And wouldn't you think that was almost criminal? And yet that's the way you find it in church life and work. We'll have some people who will take a very critical attitude and a very much of a strong opposition to certain people because they say they don't like them, when actually one suspicions that the main reason they don't like them, they may have two reasons. One is that that particular preacher or that particular group do not belong to them. That's number one. And the other is that they have more power than the first ones have. Something like that. At any rate, here it is. They commanded them to speak to no man in that name. So verse 18, they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. And again, I say every time I go over it, that's astonishing to me. The only reason, I suppose, why I'm so struck by it is because I've seen the like of that happen in my lifetime. Just exactly like that. I've known of men who were actually kept out of certain pulpits because they were so much better and more effective in preaching than the man who happened to be pastor of that pulpit. And the people didn't want to have anybody upset, so they just keep certain men out of the pulpit for fear somebody else won't rate so well. And if you think that's unusual or you don't believe that's possible, you can read it back here in the book of Acts. They did it then. Now look what else happened. And this I'm very much interested in. In verses 19 and 20, this is what Peter and John said. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. This is a nice roundabout way of saying, we'll just have to let you know right now that we're not doing this for your sake. We're not doing it because you ask us to. We're not going to stop because you say so. We were led of God to start this. We've been guided of God to do it. We're going to go on serving God. Whether you like it or not, that would be up to you. Something like that. Verse 20. We cannot but speak the things that which we have seen and heard. And there Peter gave the answer that will always be given at any time by anyone who is ministering the gospel and doing a work of the Lord. He is saying to him in just so many words, we have been led to do this, we're going to do it. Now in verse 21 and 22, so when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. This is a different note. The leaders wanted to stop Peter and John from preaching, but the people appreciated it. The leaders wanted to fix it so they never could preach anymore. But I'm sure the people wanted to hear more about it. And here we have it. The leaders couldn't find any way in which punishing Peter and John because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was shown. And now comes a very interesting item. And it, you have to read from verses 23 to 30. We'll just take a brief look at it now. Being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, when the church heard that they had been commanded not to preach, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, that is, they prayed, and they got together for a prayer meeting. And here is their prayer. Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. And then they go on down through this prayer, talking to the Lord. And when they come down through to verse 29, and I'm leaving it to you to read, because you can read that prayer in chapter 4, verses 24 to 30. You'll get the prayer that this church offered. And remember why they were praying. They had been told not to preach. They had been told not to tell anybody about the gospel. And they couldn't keep quiet. They had to tell about it. So they got together in prayer. And when they had come down to verse 29, you read in their prayer, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings. You can see what they're threatening to do to us. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Isn't that amazing? They didn't say, with reference to these people who were opposing them, may they all drop dead. They didn't say that. And they didn't say, if any man lift up his hand to strike us, may he be paralyzed. They didn't say that. They said, just see what we're threatened with and give us the strength to go ahead. That's all they said. That with all boldness we may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. They just prayed, O Lord, give us power. Help us to go on with our work and give us power. I recommend that to you and to me. Whenever we have run into any kind of opposition when it comes to bearing our testimony, let's have this in mind, that we ask the Lord to give us grace. Sometimes this can happen in your own family. If people in the family are kind of opposed to you belonging to the Lord and going to church and so on, ask for grace, but don't stop going to church. Ask for grace, but don't stop praying. And may the Lord bless your testimony. Our God and Heavenly Father, add thy blessing to each one of us as we ourselves try to serve thee. And make us strong in our witness to the world that Christ Jesus really will save those who come unto him. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.